Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and we're talking about a topic that a lot of times people lose hope when they've lost a loved one or a job. Just so many different things in our life that, you know, we lose. It happens, and unfortunately, you know, it's painful, but the good news is God's promise to never leave us or forsake us. And we're talking with Sherry Beth Daly. She did a talk recently in a breakout session at her church on grief, and just did a really, really good job kind of explaining some of the things that God had talked to her about through this topic. And if you missed it, I want to encourage you to go to our website, hopeishere.today, and you can catch our 14-minute talk yesterday, and we're going to continue that today. We closed out yesterday's program, the scripture that she shared, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, was just powerful, and if nothing else, you ought to just go and listen to that part of it. But just in that one passage there, those four verses, God talks about comfort. And so I love that God knows that we're going to need comfort at times, Sherry Beth. So in this passage you shared, 10 times alone, he mentioned the word comfort. And so I'm thankful to know that my Heavenly Father knows that I'm going to need comfort sometimes.
Yeah, it's interesting because I started thinking about why do we resist God's comfort? And for me, I was realizing that in the wake of loss, whether it be the loss of a person, you know, like it was for me, it was loss of my dad, or it might be the loss of a season or a hope or a dream that you'd had. I think some of the resistance to comfort is that in receiving comfort, that we have to validate that there's been a loss, you know. To be able to say, I do need comfort from God, or to receive comfort from other people, it's a humbling thing, because I have to acknowledge that this person isn't here anymore, or this season is actual. You know, I am this age, and this hasn't happened yet, and I wanted it to happen. Whatever, fill in the blank, but to affirm that something isn't there that we wanted can be tough to do. So comfort really requires us to validate that and to open ourselves up to receive comfort from God and from others.
Well, one of the things that God spoke to you that you through this grieving process and research, you said that, you know, God kind of gave you a invitation, and you know, you shared about that yesterday, and there were several things that you learned from this invitation process. Share some of those with us. What was the first thing that spoke to you through this process?
Well, the first part of the invitation really was to be comforted, like we were talking about. So to, rather than turning away from the pain or acting like it hadn't happened, I know that's those stages of grief are real, and denial can be a part of that, but to really, when I experience pain, to lean into it rather than turn it away, and that by opening myself up to that really opens me up to God, to receive that from Him. So that was the first part of the invitation there. And then a second part was just His invitation to embrace empathy rather than judgment. And I was surprised at how quickly, even in the wake of dealing with my own loss, that I could be thinking about how other people were processing the loss. You know, you would think that you would just be dealing kind of overwhelmed with your own stuff. But the reality is that everybody processes grief very differently. And I think where it's most challenging is that the people that you love and that are closest to you, I carried this concern of, are they doing okay? And how are they processing this? And because my processing of the grief looked different from theirs, you know, there can be this temptation to judge other people and to say, well, they're not doing it the right way because I'm finding help doing it this way, and surely they would find help this way too. And just being, digging into why was I feeling that? And for me, I think some of the reasons that I was feeling it is because there was just underlying fear. There was fear that, you know, are they not going to process the grief? Are they not going to be okay? Or are they going to just be off by themselves, or is this going to blow up on them one day? And also, just for me, it was fears of, I, particularly with my close family, with my immediate family, I wanted to talk about it. I'm more of the talker in the family, and so I wanted to talk about Dad. And there was this fear of, if we didn't talk about it, that, you know, would he be forgotten? Would which is, I know is ridiculous, but it's just these things that you think about and deal with in the wake of it. And I had a fear that he, you know, that we wouldn't talk about it anymore, or that people wouldn't be okay. There's just you don't know what things are going to look like on the other side of grief and the other side of the loss of someone, especially for my dad, who was such a larger than life figure. He influenced what our family looked like in a substantial way. So this has been 18 months of kind of learning what does our family look like without Dad in the day-to-day mix of it.
Well, and I love one of the final points you shared on that at your retreat that you spoke at recently. You said that, you know, you learned that what you should have been doing was practicing empathy and letting mm-hmm. them be on their journey. Well, one of the things I've learned through the process of losing my dad a couple years ago is that, you know, I always sympathized with people when mm-hmm. they lost a parent, but once I've walked through it now, I can empathize, mm-hmm. and there's such a difference, you know. Like I said, I was in a full-time ministry for 14 years, and you know, I always sympathized, but until I lost my dad, I could not empathize. There's a big difference, but the good part of it is that I've learned that God never wastes a hurt. You know, nobody mm-hmm. To help somebody that's been through a miscarriage like somebody mm-hmm. that's had a miscarriage. Nobody better to help somebody that's been through that's going through cancer for the first time than somebody that's been a cancer survivor. Somebody's been through a divorce, same thing. And so one of the things that I've learned on my part of the journey of grieving is that if we allow God, he never wastes a hurt in our lives. Have you found that to be true?
Absolutely. And that's a lot of what that passage from Corinthians that you were reading, that to those who will be comforted, then they can turn around and comfort others, really spoke to for me. And one of the things that's been most helpful to me in the journey is just to listen to other people who have experienced pain and loss, and to hear how God met them in that, just to hear how they processed through it. I don't know, it may sound odd, but that brought comfort to me. I don't want other people to have experienced pain or loss, but just by listening to them and hearing other people's stories, whether it was in the context of a grief group or listening to a podcast or you know, an audio book or something, just listening to people's stories was really helpful for me in understanding how they processed their grief. It helped me with that. And just to hear how they were able to use the pain in their own life to empathize with others and how God used it. You know, that genuinely nothing was wasted.
Well, I agree with you. It really has helped me too. And to hear other people's stories, you know, that are further down the road and mm-hmm. say, you know, yeah, it does hurt, but it will get better. And yeah, I can say 2 years on the other side, it does. It doesn't mean that, you know, it doesn't hurt still at times, but it was encouraging to know people that were further down the road. You know, I could see in their lives that, you know, hey, I will get there, even on days you don't feel like you made
yes.
it there.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right. Another thing that you talked about at the retreat that you led on grief and God's invitation, you said that part of it, the healing part of going through grief too, is just to show up and work it all the way through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that. And I realize that when you're on the first leg of a grief journey, that can sound exhausting. to work it all the way through, because grief isn't done for me. You know, I'm 18 months in this. I think it will be an ongoing part of the journey, but it's more of allowing God, when grief shows up, when I experience pain, when I feel the loss of my dad or something new arises, that again, I lean into it. I work it all the way through with God, because I've found if there's still more pain or there's still grief that shows up, that just means that there's more of him. There's more healing that he wants to provide. And in working it all the way through, that I really am. It's I heard somebody on another podcast talk about stewarding your pain, that by working it through with God, I don't know what he wants to do with it, but I know from scripture, it says, if you'll receive the comfort, then there will be opportunity to comfort others. So the working it all the way through may be that I have the opportunity to comfort somebody else who's experienced a similar loss to me, but it may mean that, you know, at a retreat, I have an opportunity to talk about grief, or that there's something that God wants to teach me through it that I'm able to use for his glory. So,
well, I've definitely seen you do that over the past 16 months, and I think the thing that, you know, I've learned with the grieving process myself, as you shared about pressing in towards the pain, but, you know, the second part of what you shared about that last point at the retreat was working it all the way through. Mm-hmm. And I don't think a lot of times, at least in my experience, maybe it's a man thing, but that we do go all the way through because we feel like, well, if I'm a real follower of Jesus, you know, I shouldn't be this sad still over or have these emotions. And I'm now embarrassed, but I found that to be wrong, but I know I had told people through a lot of counseling sessions over the year, make sure you allow yourself to grieve, but yet sometimes I had to battle the lie that, well, you know, I should be further along or stronger in my, if I was stronger in my faith, I wouldn't grieve like this. But, you know, as you went through this, you found out, I think the same thing I did, you got to press through and keep going because, I mean, grieving is just a continual process, isn't it?
Yes. And, I mean, nobody's prepared for how, you know, how to deal with grief. So when it happens to you, sometimes out of the blue, sometimes, you know, you may have a family member that's been sick for a long time and you're anticipating the grief. But still, when it comes, when the loss happens, it's fresh and there's really no manual, right? So that's why it's been helpful to be with other people who are a few months into it or several years into it that are walking through their grief, just to receive help from them, to receive some guidance, but to lean into God, because there's always, he never leaves, you know, the pain just for the pain. There's purpose that he brings out of it and healing that he wants to provide. So we're familiar with in scripture when he talks about that he brings beauty from ashes, and you know that your mourning will turn into dancing, and there's no timeline on when that's going to happen. So I've just, as the grief continues to show up, I just, you've got to continue to lean into him. You know, there's a promise. I believe that there's more healing every time I see that there's more grief.
Well, I loved on the point that you elaborated on when you spoke on grief the retreat. You said, you know, if we allow God, nothing is wasted.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, most of the time, you know, I think I've stereotyped, you know, when I was younger and not as mature in my faith, that, you know, well, if I'm, you know, really walking with Jesus, you know, things won't hurt as bad. But you know what? I found that, you know, that's not necessarily true. I mean, you know, a loss of a loved one or a job or a pet or a close neighbor, I mean, you know, man, those things are painful, and it doesn't matter how strong you are in your faith, it's still going to hurt, and it's okay to hurt, right?
Absolutely. And certainly for those who are familiar with scripture and Jesus' time here on earth, I mean, hurt and pain was a real part of his life. And he promises that we're going to experience it. You know, it's the irony that all of us are going to experience grief at some point, but it's not something that we talk a lot about or it's not the water cooler conversation, and yet we're all going to experience it. And I think it's just that natural tendency that we want to avoid pain in our lives. It's things that we feel out of control in that area, and how do I deal with that? And so it's something that that we just don't want to talk about, but it's real for everybody. You know, that pain and loss is a normal part of life, and that we can lean, you know, turn into God to find peace and healing and comfort in it.
All right. Well, we're going to have to wrap up today's program, but we've got a couple more things that we want to share about grief. I'm talking with Sherry Beth Daly, and she recently spoke at a retreat, and she talked about the topic of grief. And, you know, the question is not whether we're going to have loss and going to have grief in our lives, but how we do go through that grief. And so I hope if you missed part of the first part of today's program that you will go to our website, hopeishere.today, and go listen to the whole program. And then we had part one yesterday as a really, really good stuff, a great scripture that Sherry shared at this retreat that I read on the first program, that is in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3-7. So I want to encourage you to check that out if you're struggling with grief right now. And I hope you'll join us tomorrow for Hope Is Here as we continue our conversation on how you can find hope through grief with Sherry Beth Daly. I'm Greg Horn. We'll see you tomorrow on Hope Is Here.
Do you have a real estate question and don't know where to start? Contact Cecil Holmes with Rector Hayden Realtors. Whether you're in the market, looking to buy, sell, or rent a house, Cecil Combs would be glad to help you with any real estate questions you have. Give him a call today at 326-0756. That's 326-0756. Cecil Combs with Rector Hayden Realtors.